Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
We're going to do a little sermon review on this Tuesday afternoon. Now, we always go into our sermons, and this will be a positive one. We call it a positive one. A good sermon review. Go into our sermons armed with the same diagnostic tool. It's three-part. How often is Jesus mentioned? That's what you want to ask yourself first as you are listening to the sermon we'll review on the other side of the break. How often is Jesus mentioned? Now, Jesus sometimes gets honorable mentions in sermons. Sometimes he's mentioned in prayers. Sometimes he's not mentioned at all. But what you're listening for is Jesus all over the sermon. How often is he mentioned? Keep a simple running tally. And if Jesus is mentioned numerous times, part two of the diagnostic? Well, is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Is he the one doing the action of this sermon? In other words, is this sermon about what Jesus does? In order for that to be true, he has to be the subject of the verbs, running the verbs, so to speak. If Jesus is mentioned many times, he is the subject of the verbs. You have to ask one more question. As we review this sermon on the other side of the break, what are those verbs? Is this the Jesus that just helps and advises and gives an example? Or is this the Jesus who digs in and does it himself? The one who doesn't just coach you through life, but actually gives you his life through his suffering, death, and resurrection. That's our diagnostic. When we come back, a sermon review of a sermon preached on Pentecost Sunday by Pastor Joel Baisley of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. That sermon review is next. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Michael J. Fox has been the most visible and outspoken advocate of embryonic stem cell research. It's the process of killing human embryos in what's been a futile attempt of healing illness and disease. Finally, Michael's publicly admitted what many of us already know. It won't work. During an interview with ABC News' Diane Sawyer, he said the cure for his disease, Parkinson's, is, quote, more likely to come from another area. Michael's late to the party, but he's welcome to join us in getting behind adult stem cell research, which has already treated or cured scores of ailments. This celebrity could help make up for lost time if he could persuade President Obama to stop flushing our tax dollars down the drain on a failed science that kills innocent human life.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time for a sermon review on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 29th. The sermon that comes from Pastor Joel Baisley, a regular guest of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan, preaching on Pentecost and preaching on Jesus' own words from the Gospel of John on the work of the Holy Spirit to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Remember, how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? Here's the sermon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This evening's sermon is based on the gospel reading from John chapter 15. Jesus said, "And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Here ends the reading. Jesus Christ fulfilled the promise that he gives in this gospel just read to his disciples. 50 days, that's why it's called Pentecost. 50 is in that word Pentecost. 50 days after his resurrection from the dead, and 10 days after he ascended into heaven, he poured out the Holy Spirit in the account that we heard in Acts 2 of the first Pentecost. Having returned with his death wounds to the Father up in heaven, he is now constantly seen by the Father in heaven as the reason why he can and must forgive us. For when he sees us as sinners, he sees also the wounds of Christ that died on the cross for our sins. And seeing the payment made, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins because of Jesus' suffering and death. But this message needed to be taken out into all the world so that sinners, captivated and dying in sins, could receive this new life in Jesus Christ. And so to equip his apostles with the saving message of the gospel and with the power and the boldness to go forth in the world, he pours out the Holy Spirit upon the disciples with the visible sign of fire upon their heads and the sound of a mighty rushing wind. As a result, the apostles, having received the Holy Spirit, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to these people who have come to visit for the feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem. By the power of the Holy Spirit, they come to faith. They are struck with terror because of their sins, and they ask, "What must we do to be saved?" And they say, "Believe and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins." And on that day, 3,000 people came to faith on the day of the birthday of the new church, of the new covenant, of the New Testament. Today, in the 21st century, the Holy Spirit is a controversial character. We Lutherans are accused by some of having no Holy Spirit, but being nothing but dead letter Christians who have only the Word of God and no living Spirit. And in other Christian denominations and fellowships, we see people gyrating and falling down as if they were fainting and speaking all kinds of gibberish with tongues that no one can understand. And it is said that that is the Holy Spirit. They see inexplicable signs and they don't know how to explain it. They see it as a miracle and equate it with the Holy Spirit. How do we recognize the Holy Spirit and his work? How do we know the true Spirit, which is sent of Christ, and that which is the false and lying spirit that would take our souls away from Jesus Christ? Well, we need to go back to the words of Jesus Christ. We need to hear and to see what he promised and to find the Holy Spirit only where he is doing what Jesus promised that he would do. Because Jesus never lied, does he? He said he would die and rise again, and he did it. He said that 50 days afterwards, or sometime after his resurrection, he would send the Holy Spirit, and he did it. And when the Holy Spirit comes, won't he do exactly what Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would do? And is that not how we can recognize the Holy Spirit when he fulfills the promises of Jesus? Jesus says in the text that I just read for you, it may sound strange that the Spirit is often called the Spirit of life and sort of a gentle, comforting spirit. Yes, he sounds kind of rough in the passage that I just read, didn't he? It said in that passage that I just read to you a minute ago that the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. What does Jesus mean in this text by the world? He will convict the world. In John's vocabulary, in the gospel and in his epistles, the world is a technical term for all people who are at enmity with God. All who hate God, all who are against God are called the world, which is a marvelous thing, an amazing thing, I should say it, that God so loved the world. God so loved his enemies that he gave his only begotten Son. We are all born in sin. We are all born as part of the world. We are all born at enmity with God, and we all fall short of the glory of God. God so loved the world, and God so loved us in Jesus Christ. So at the first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gives utterance to the gospel in all these languages that the people who were pilgrims from other parts of the world understood as their native language. But the reason for this miracle of speaking of in other language is not especially to do something novel or to tickle people's sense of the surreal, but to communicate and to give them the message. And if we look further in the message of Acts, it is a convicting message. St. Peter says in the name of the apostles, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to these people in Jerusalem, you know what you did? You crucified the Lord of glory. And there the Holy Spirit recounts to the people gathered at this feast the point of sin, the point of righteousness, and the point of judgment. You could certainly call this a law spirit, and you'd be certainly right, since convicting the world of sin is a function of the law. And that this conviction of sin is never abstracted from the greatest sin, which has to do with the gospel. What do I mean? The greatest sin, my friends, is not the terrible things that we do against the Ten Commandments. Jesus died on the cross for all of those sins, and they are all removed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They are all truly sins and despicable and hated by God. But the greatest sin is this, that God sent his Son into the world to fix that problem for us. God sent his Son to bear those sins for us. God sent his Son in love to do nothing but good unto the world that hated God, the servant of the world, and the world rejected that Son of God. The world rejected that love of God. The world stubbornly in its darkness wanted to save its sin and wanted to get rid of the Savior. And so our sins against the Ten Commandments are truly despicable and hated by God. But the greatest sin is the rejection of the answer to that sin. The greatest sin is the rejection of the Savior when he comes in love to save us. And we said, you're not worthy of my time. You're not worthy of my attention. You're not worthy of anything. I shun you. I reject you. And the Holy Spirit, therefore, on this text, always refers to Jesus as the point of sin and not the Ten Commandments. Of sin because you do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged by me, who is the true judge. And so you see, the greatest sin is us clinging to our sinful life as a part of the world and an enmity of God. When God stands there with his forgiveness, we say, I don't want your forgiveness. I want my sin. I want my way of life. I want the things that I want, and I don't want you. As we stand in the stinking robes of our sin and unrighteousness, and Jesus holds out his perfect, perfumed robes of perfect righteousness before God and said, I took your robe, now take my robe. We refuse and say, I don't want holiness. I want to be the sinner that I am. I don't want to change. I want to be what I am. And when Jesus comes to release us from the judgment of Satan that stands against us for our sin and claims us as his own only because we have sinned against God and therefore are in his realm of the curse. And Christ says, I have come to take away that judgment, to judge the one who has subjected you to sin and to free you. We stand in our jail cells. The world stands in their jail cells and says, no, I'm going to stay here. I will not come out. I won't come into the glory. I won't come into the forgiveness. I like this life, and I will keep it and reject you. And this is precisely what the Holy Ghost does when he convicts the pilgrims there at Pentecost, at the first Pentecost. He says, that's what you did. God came in his glory and his love and did nothing but good and miracles and restoration and kindness among you. And what did you do? You couldn't stand him. You let yourself rise up against you under your leaders. You shouted out, crucify, crucify him, instead of wanting to be covered by his righteousness and embraced by his love. You gave him nothing but hate. And you are convicted. You did all that. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings Christ, the perfect one, the sacrifice for sins, the loving and gracious one, and he brings this Christ in his gospel to sinners and then sets this Christ next to the sinners and says, look at him and look at yourself. Look at the difference. Look at what you have done to the Holy One of God. Look at what your sins have done for him. Look at how you have treated him. And what happens? Well, it says in this text, what happens is that the Holy Spirit convicts the world. There's a conviction that takes place. What does that mean? Well, he takes what is unclear, and we human beings are very good at being nebulous, fuzzy, and unclear. He takes what is unclear and makes it abundantly clear as only God can.
Well, when we come back, more of Pastor Joel Basely's Pentecost sermon preached Sunday at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. It's our sermon review on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 29th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. What can lay people do to help support pastors and other professional church workers? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Holding Up the Prophet's Hand, Supporting Church Workers. You can purchase this new resource by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Holding Up the Prophet's Hand costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Holding Up the Prophet's Hand at issuesetc.org.
This is Pastor Clint Poppe, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Creator Spirit, Heavenly Dove, a Pentecost hymn playing right now at Lutheran Public Radio. That's right. The Easter season did come to a close, but Lutheran Public Radio goes on through the other half of the church year, sometimes referred to as the Pentecost or the Trinity season. It's sacred music for the world all through the church year at LutheranPublicRadio.org. You can go right now or anytime you want, 24/7, and listen to this sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're reviewing a sermon preached by Pastor Joel Baisley on Pentecost Sunday. He's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, according to the text from John's Gospel, where Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the conviction that the Holy Spirit works is worked by the Word of God, which brings genuine conviction, genuine knowledge. Let's go back to the sermon and pick up where we left off.
You see, everyone, and I think you'd agree with me in this, everyone has a certain sense of dread. Everyone has a sense there's disaster coming. And it stems from the realization of evil, personal evil, evil all around us. And it says something bad's going to happen because this place is just too evil. Something bad's really got to happen. And in his fuzzy thinking, man naturally thinks certainly God has something to do with all this trouble that's happening because of evil. He must have something to do with it. And that's the source of natural religions, false religions. Because in natural religions, man in his fuzziness seeks a way to placate God. He looks for works that he can do. He has prescribed works that he can do in order to get God and his wrath and danger off his back, to clear his conscience. If you do that, then God will accept you. If you do this, then God will accept you. And that's natural religion. And that's what the devil wants. He wants confusion about this. He wants to tantalize you and me with the idea, maybe there's something I can do about my sin. Maybe there's something that I can do to placate God. Maybe there's something I can do. And just leave it fuzzy. Oh, someday I'll get around to it. And we never do. That's the devil's way. He loves to make it unclear and nebulous. Oh, I'll get to it when I get to it. And he takes us to hell with some confusion. But the Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit says, don't wonder about it. Don't be fuzzy about it. Don't wonder if there's anything that you can do about it. You can't. Look at the way you've treated God. You need to be convicted. God made you to share his glory and to reflect his glory. And all you do is try to glorify yourself. God has made you to serve other people, and all you do is serve yourself. God has made you to be holy, and all you've done is sin. You see, he convicts. He makes it clear. He brings us to a point of despair. And that's not the point of salvation, but it's the point of being ready for salvation. Because when we have stopped trying to justify ourselves or thinking that it's even possible for us to justify ourselves, at the point of that despair, then the gospel is so sweet. Struck to the heart in Jerusalem, these people at the Pentecost were terrified. And that's how we ought to be before God. Terrified by what we have done with his gifts and what we have done to him. Terrified before a God who hates sin. And we should be saying to him the same thing that these disciples said. Brothers, what can we do to be saved? And the answer is so easy. Because it's not up to us and what we do. It's up to God and what he did in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit brings us Christ, who died willingly and lovingly upon that cross, even as we were rejecting him, even as we were hating him. God was loving us in Jesus Christ. And before we even started to believe, he said, "It is finished." Hear that? Before we even started, it was finished. It was taken care of. It was accomplished in Jesus Christ. And that's the message. Repent, turn from your sin. Turn from that which God hates. Hate what God hates and turn from it. But turn to something good, because Christ your Savior is here. The one who burned away your sins in the wrath of God has burned them away completely. Repent and believe in him, and that's all there is to salvation. It is easy for you because it was hard for him. You could not, he did it. You couldn't accomplish it, he did. And that's what the Holy Spirit does then. He brings desperate sinners into the light of God's grace. Now, that's what he does in the church, and that's what he's been doing for 2,000 years. The question that begs each and every one of us is, has he done that with me? It doesn't matter if he did it to the one next to you or not, whether he's a believer or not, it doesn't affect your salvation. The question is whether you are a believer. Your parents being good believers doesn't mean that you are going to heaven. The question is whether you are a believer, whether the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of sin has convicted you of sin, whether the Spirit who leads the world convicted of sin unto all truth in Jesus Christ has led you into all truth in Jesus Christ. The definition that I teach the kids in confirmation class, one of them's here, can vouch for me, is the church is the people of God gathered around Christ, being made holy by his means of grace. That's what the church is. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily physically here every time the church is offered. You can be here every week and you're not gathered around Christ if the Holy Spirit is not doing his work in you. If your body is here and your soul and your mind is somewhere else, are you convicted when the law is preached from this pulpit? The Holy Spirit wants to bring you to the despair of being a lost sinner. Are you yet a lost sinner? Or do you still go with the world and say, well, nobody's perfect. I guess I'm not either. That doesn't sound very scary, and it doesn't sound very convicted, and it doesn't sound like the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit brings us to that conviction. Have you been convicted of it? Or have you been thwarting the Holy Spirit in the message of the law? While the law is being preached, do you hold your spiritual fingers over your ears and hum to yourself your own songs instead of hearing what the Holy Spirit wants to convict you of? People can do that for years. And if you've been doing it, take the fingers out. Let the Holy Spirit come in and do his demolition. Let the Holy Spirit come in and do his conviction. Let him come get you to the point of giving up on yourself. Because as long as you are affirming yourself, Christ cannot affirm you. Give up on yourself. Today is the day of salvation. You may not have tomorrow. Give up on yourself. What will happen if you do? The Holy Spirit is here to give you Jesus. The Holy Spirit is here to fill your emptiness with Christ. The Holy Spirit is here to fill empty sinners with the fullness of grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. When a sinner convicted of sin confesses his sin in the church, the words, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are precious as gold and precious as heaven, because the hungry soul says in that, I'm being fed. I'm being fed with Christ. When we come in here reeking and stinking of our sins that we acknowledge that we have done today and yesterday and the day before, we come into the presence of Holy God in that stench. But it is the aroma of Jesus Christ that fills the nostrils of God. It is the pleasant aroma of the gospel that is preached to you whenever Christ crucified is preached to you, that covers over the rags of your righteousness and dresses you in the jeweled robes, the perfumed robes of Jesus Christ. And when you understand that your faith and your Christ is the most important thing in the world, then all of the idols that the devil wants to put into your eyes, whether it be food, whether it be relationships, whether it be toys, whether it be a job, no matter what it would be, all of those idols will blow apart and become transformed when the greatest gift that you have is deliverance from slavery to those things by the freedom of the gospel in Jesus Christ. And in that, you have sure hope of a sure future. You'll never be satisfied with a Holy Spirit that throws people on the ground and never talks about Jesus. You'll never be happy with the Holy Spirit that blah, blah, blahs words that you can't understand, because you want to hear words that you can plainly understand that convict you of your sin to draw you to your Savior, Jesus Christ. Recognize that Spirit and recognize Him in His fullness here, where Christ's words rule, where what Christ has commanded to be in His church takes place. And if you don't know that what we do is commanded by God, get into that word and learn it. Because only there will you find conviction and surety in Jesus Christ our Lord. And once you have it, you stand up against the gates of hell, and they will not prevail against you. Amen. And may the peace that that gives us that surpasses our understanding then keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Man, I think I just found a new favorite preacher, for heaven's sakes. And notice what happened here, folks. Delivering Jesus Christ by doing what the Holy Spirit does. Delivering Jesus Christ. And in the very words that he's preaching, the Holy Spirit is doing what Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would do, to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Would that Christian preaching were truly Christian in that sense, every Sunday, not just Pentecost Sunday, but every Sunday. I'm Todd Wilkin. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute talking about a lawsuit of Roman Catholic agencies against the HHS mandate, and Mike Horton will join us to talk about whether or not Christianity is feminine or masculine. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.